أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الذي ليس لأوليته ابتداء ولا لأزليته انقضاء وانحصرت الأوصاف عن كنه معرفته وردعت عظمته العقول والذي لا تواري عنه سماء سماء ولا أرض أرضا ثم الصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على سيد البطحاء سيد المرسلين والأنبياء أبي القاسم محمد المصطفى وعلى الجوهرة القدسية البتول العذراء سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء وعلى بعلها أمير المؤمنين وبنيها الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا لا سيما على بقية الله وحجته الكبرى الذي بيمنه رزق الورى وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء ولولاه لصاحت الأرض بأهلها واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من حين عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه الكريم قال فبعزتك لأقعدن لهم صراطك المستقيم ثم لآتينهم من بين أيديهم وعن خلفهم ومن خلفهم وعن أيمانهم وعن شمائلهم ولا تجد أكثرهم شاكرين فقال أيضا إن جهنم لموعدهم أجمعين لها سبعة أبواب صلوات
اللهم صل على محمد
Our discussion was going on regarding the seven doors which are found in the existence of every human being. And it's our obligation as a believer and as a mu'min and a Muslim to keep away from the deceptions of shaitan so that he may not deceive us and drag us to the hellfire through one or several of those doors which are available. And the more we abstain from the attachment of this dunya, like I mentioned in the last night's speech, the more we will be empowered to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because hubbud dunya has been mentioned in the hadith of Imam Sadiq alayhi salatu wa salam.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
As hubbud dunya ra'su kulli khati'atin. The love of dunya is the root cause of all the sins. So this is the major reason one of the major reasons why so much importance has been laid in Islam regarding this matter. But before I move forward to the subject, we would certainly like to address the issue of the innocent civilians in the occupied territories and in the Gaza Strip, which right now we are witnessing this ruthless massacre conducted by the Zionist regime, the Zionist racist oppressive regime of Israel, and which is supported by the Bush administration. And we strongly condemn the barbaric activities which are being conducted by the Zionist regime of Israel and which are being openly supported by the Bush administration. There is no justification according to any rule and any law whatsoever for killing any innocent civilian person. Whether you do it in the name of collateral damage, of whatever label you can assign to this crime, there is no justification for killing any innocent civilian person. And we protest and we condemn these atrocities, and we urge all the Muslims, specifically all of you respectable brothers and sisters present here in this gathering, and all those brothers and sisters who can hear my voice on the websites, on different websites where they may be listening to this speech, I sincerely urge all the mu'mineen and mu'minat to feel their responsibility in terms of protesting against this calamity and this biggest cancer tumor in the body of the Muslim Ummah, which is the Zionist regime conducting these atrocities. It's our religious obligation to condemn the oppression. Islam is a religion of peace, but we have every right to condemn the aggression and violence, and we are proud over the fact that our leader, Samahatul Wali al-Faqih, Hafidhahullah, and the rest of the Maraji, may Allah protect all of them who have issued their verdicts, given their fatwas, and openly condemned these atrocities. And you must have been hearing the fatwas coming from the leader and the rest of the Maraji about the situation in Gaza and the massacre of the civilians which is going on right now. And we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we thank our leadership, and we thank the Maraji, may Allah protect all of them, for enlightening the Islamic Ummah and for fulfilling their obligation to inform us what we are supposed to do in front of this problem. Please say salawat. Alhamdulillah, we are witnessing several protests going on peacefully in different parts of United States, from the East Coast to the West Coast. Today we had a very successful protest by our community in Seattle, alhamdulillah, in the downtown, and likewise in different other cities in the United States and elsewhere in Europe and the Middle East. And it's our responsibility to make our voice heard. Not just stay in our homes and, you know, and just feel in our hearts that this is something wrong going on. This is not enough. You know, because the Holy Prophet has said, "Man sami'a munadiyan yunadi ya lil muslimin falam yujibhu falaysa bi muslimin." Someone who heard the voice of a Muslim calling, of Muslims calling for help, but he didn't reply back positively, is not a Muslim. "Man asbaha walam yahtamma bi umur al muslimin falaysa bi muslim." Someone who dawns, enters into his morning, but he doesn't give importance to the affairs of the Muslims, is not a Muslim. So Islam is a religion which has everything to do with the society and social and political obligations. So, it's the major cause which again blocks us from performing our obligation is the same attachment towards this dunya that we were discussing, which is the major way of deception, how Satan deceives us into entering to the hellfire through one or several of those seven doors which I mentioned. And it has been narrated in the history that the Holy Prophet, one of his wives had actually, she folded the abba. Prophet had no mattress to sleep on. Prophet used to sleep on his abba. He used to fold it, the abba it was folded like two folds, two layers, and used to sleep on that. One of the nights, what happened is that one of his wives folded the abba into four layers to make it further soft and, you know, comfortable for the Holy Prophet to sleep. And that night when Prophet slept on the four layers of his abba instead of two layers, he woke up a little bit late for his Salatul Layl. So when he woke up, he said to his wife that, "Don't fold my abba into four layers. Instead, you fold it into the same two layers. Because you folded it like because of those four layers, I woke up late in the morning for the munajat with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." So the more we get inclined towards this dunya, Prophet is not inclined towards the dunya, but this is a lesson for us to learn. The more we get inclined towards this dunya, the more we find we will become ghafil and ignorant towards our responsibility towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ya ibn Adam, بقدر ما يميل قلبك إلى الدنيا أخرج محبتي من قلبك. Isn't that the Hadith al-Qudsi informs us, "Oh, the son of Adam, the more your heart gets inclined towards the love of this dunya, the more I'm going to take my love out of your heart." فَإِنِّي لَا أَجْمَى حُبِّي وَحُبَّ الدُّنْيَا فِي قَلْبٍ وَاحِدٍ أَبَدًا. Because I'm not going to combine my love and the love of dunya in one heart. It's not going to happen. And Imam al-Kazim alayhi salam has said in his hadith that مَسَلُ الدُّنْيَا كَمَاءِ الْبَحْرِ. Please pay attention. مَسَلُ الدُّنْيَا كَمَاءِ الْبَحْرِ. Example, the parable of this dunya is that of the water of the ocean. كُلَّمَا شَرِبَهُ الْعَجْشَانِ إِزْدَادَ عَتَشًا. The more a thirsty person drinks from the water of the sea or the ocean, the further thirsty he becomes. حَتَّى يَقْتُلَهُ. Till a time would arrive that the seawater is, you know, the seawater is salty. Till a time would arrive that the seawater is going to kill him. It's just like the example. Another example has been given in the hadith that the love of this dunya is just like the silkworm, Resham ka kira. Silkworm is basically weaving the silk threads around himself. That's what the hadith says. It's weaving the silkworm threads around itself, and it thinks that, well, I can still come out one day. It's okay. It keeps on weaving the threads, till the time arrives that that silkworm is surrounded by those bulk of threads, and now he finds himself in a situation that he gets, he cannot breathe, and he dies inside the same threads that he himself has woven. That's exactly the example which is given in the hadith about how a human being gets entrapped into the love of this, an attachment of this dunya. So Hazrat Isa alayhi salam was walking with three of his companions, Hawariyin, and they were walking through some township and they found a treasure. You know, in old days, they used to bury the treasures under the walls. They don't have those safe lockers like we have today. So they used to bury their treasures, the gold, the silver coins, inside their walls to protect it. So it was a rubble, it was a destroyed home, and the wall was kind of broken, the treasure came out, and there was lots of gold coins, a lot of gold available there. So these, Hazrat Isa alayhi salam, he saw now his three of his companions have their eye on the gold. He said, the love of dunya is a killer. Dunya ki muhabbat jo hai, wo qatl karne wali hai. That means don't pay attention to this. And he was going for some assignment, for some job, and he continued. And the companions had to get along with Hazrat Isa and continue with him. And they left. But their mind was stuck with that gold. So now, you know, it's there in the history, that it's there in the hadith, that when the gold and silver was converted into coins for the first time, the first person who became happy about this was Satan. The hadith says Satan put the coin over his eyes and said the statement that antuma qurratu aini wa samaratu fuadi. You both are a means of comfort for me. Tum dono meri aankhon ki dirham o dinar. Tum dono meri aankhon ki thandak ho. Aur mere mewa-e dil ho. Dirham used to be of silver in the old days, and dirham and dinar used to be of gold. And the exchange rate was like 10 dirhams are equal to 1 dinar. 10 silver coins equal to 1 gold coin. And in the Arabic grammar, even the word dinar, if you look into the Arabic grammar, it is composed of two different words. Dinun wa narun. Din and nar. This is one of the very important reasons why I always emphasize in my speeches, and certain things I keep on repeating, intentionally keep on repeating certain points, because you never know, some people may not have heard it. So I always emphasize on the fact that we should teach our children the Arabic language and the Islamic terminology and the values and principles of the Holy Quran, which are found in the Arabic language. The values of the Holy Quran, I always say in my speeches and keep on repeating in my speeches, the values mentioned in the Holy Quran cannot be translated into any other language. Allama Tabatabai, you know, used to say the word Al-Karama has no translation in Farsi. This is what Allama Tabatabai, who wrote the biggest tafsir and the best tafsir of Quran in the history, is saying. We can say it Karamat, Karamat-e-Nafs. We are basically adopting the same Arabic word into our own language, or in Farsi also they say Karamat-e-Nafs. In Urdu we say the same. Because there is no translation for the word Karamat. And I can say it has no translation in any language. So it's very important. You know, Imam Khomeini, Ridwanullah alayhi, after Islamic Revolution, he added the Arabic language as an official second language in the Islamic Republic. So that people pay importance to the values of Quran and Ahlul Bayt. That's what I always say in my speeches. So basically, this is what you learn when you are familiar with the language. When you learn the word dinar, which is taken from deen and nar. It's a combination of the religion and the fire. Dunya. The word dunya that we are talking and constantly mentioning. If you look at the meaning of the word dunya, you open up a dictionary of Arabic language, it means the lowliest of among all the lowliest things. Tamam past cheezon mein se sabse zyada past. Ye hai lughvi tarjuma lafze dunya ka. Ab if my son can only speak the English language and he translates the word dunya as world, which he is going to translate, it doesn't carry any negative, opinion or negative impression in his mind to feel bad about this dunya. Isn't that right? There's nothing wrong about world. What's wrong about world? World is nothing wrong about it. Because the world does not carry the value system and the belief system of Islam. But if my child has been always saying the lowliest among all the lowly things, the lowliest among all the lowly things. It's going to pound, keep on pounding in his mind, just like you see the Fox News pounding the news 100 times about against Islam and Muslims. When anything comes against Israel, they will never talk about that. Or maybe it just comes up and surface on the surface in the media once or twice and then it's gone. But if there is anything about Islam, they will be pounding it on the minds and ears of the people 100 times a day, possibly. So this is not our value system. So if we focus on the words and the terminology, that's why I sometimes intentionally use the Islamic terminology, so that our people, our youth, our generations are familiar, they get familiar with the Quranic terms. What is mustazafin, you know? It's a terminology. What is the terminology of mahrumin in Islam? What is the terminology of mustakbirin in Islam? What is the terminology of tahut in Islam? And so on and so forth. These are our terms, just like you learn computer science. It has its own terminology. You learn philosophy, you learn psychology, you learn nuclear science. You learn astrophysics, whatever, it has its terminologies. But you have to get familiar with it. Because, and some of those terminologies are simply unable to be translated. Dhoondte rahiye aap arbi zaban mein ki ghairat ka tarjuma angrezi mein agar kahin aapko mil jaye. Hame to aaj tak ghairat ka tarjuma nahi mil saka. Isliye ki ghairat ka tarjuma, ghairat paayi nahi jati, this commodity is not available in the society. Why would they make a word to represent this commodity? Haya aur ghairat ka koi tarjuma nahi. So what I was saying is that Hazrat Isa alayhi salam he announced to his Hawariyin, those three companions, that the love of dunya is a killer. You got to be away from the, you know, don't pay attention to that gold that you saw. Don't pay attention to dunya. It's going to kill you. Well, one of the companions, when they moved on, finally said to her, he said, you know, Ya Rabbi Allah, I recall something, it just came in my mind, I have to go, you know, for that thing. So please excuse me, I have to leave. He made some excuse, he furnished some excuse, and he left Hazrat Isa and went to that goat. Hota hai na, insan koi na koi bahana pesh karta hai mukhtalif cheezon se bachne ke liye. Abhi namaz padhne ka time hai, to hum excuses, people are furnished excuses, you know. I know some people who are working for their Zionist bosses, the Jewish bosses. But they had made clear from day one that I am a Muslim and I have to pray on time. So whenever it's the time of Dhuhr prayers, I will take a leave for 5 minutes, I'll stand in the corner and I will pray. And they allow you. Because if you give respect and if you give importance to your own values and principles, people of other faith will also get to learn how to respect and honor your values and principles. If you do not stand for your values and principles, no one is probably going to give you importance and respect to your values and principles. You never count it. This is why we are supposed to protect our identity and keep away from this identity crisis that our communities, generally speaking, are going through this identity crisis. Job pe maulana aap mujhe call kare to Muhammad nahi kahe, mujhe Mo kahiyega. ye wale jhoot main nahi bol sakta. Sayyid se Sydney ho gaye, Hussain se ho gaye Henry. ये सारे झूठ जो है ये हम नहीं बोल सकते. आप जब बराए नाम भी दीन की खिदमत नहीं कर सकते तो आप काम क्या खाक करेंगे इस्लाम के लिए. आप तो इस्लाम को रिप्रेजेंट ही नहीं कर रहे. यू आर नॉट इवन काउंटेड, यू आर नॉट देयर. नोबडी वुड केयर अबाउट यू. यू योरसेल्फ डोंट केयर अबाउट हु यू आर. इज़न्ट दैट राइट? यू योरसेल्फ डोंट केयर अबाउट, नोबडी वुड ईदर, नो वन वुड केयर अबाउट हु यू आर. दैट्स व्हाट यू डिजर्व. यू गेट व्हाट यू डिजर्व. And that's the law of ilm al-irfan. You always get what you deserve. You have to make yourself deserving and you will find the blessing of Allah coming in your way. So Hazrat Isa, what I was saying is that Hazrat Isa alayhi salam, this guy, first guy left. And the other two also left one after the other by furnishing different excuses, you know, that we have to go and this and that. And all three combined, they met with each other over that treasure. Now, finally, when they found us, okay, now we are going to distribute this treasure among ourselves, three of us. So, but it's the time, it's, we are thirsty. Why not we just send one of us to go and buy some food? And then, after we eat food, then we can sit together and distribute it equally among ourselves. And they settled upon this plan. One of those three was sent to buy the food. This guy went. And now Satan started his job of deceiving. And he provoked the idea in the mind that, well, in addition to buying the food, why don't you also buy some poison? You know, just get rid of those two people. The whole treasure would be yours only. And he did the same. So he bought some poison, he added into the food, brought it for the rest of the two people, and they were planning, Satan were deceiving them. I told you in my first piece that everybody, for every different person, Satan has a different plan and different means and ways of basically deceiving. One way simply doesn't work for one person. So for the other two, he said, well, why don't you, this treasure should belong to two of us. Who is that person to come and share? You know? So basically, when he arrives, let us both together kill him so that we can distribute among two of us only, and that's how we can get a better and bigger share. So that's exactly what they did when the guy returned back. Both of them, they killed this third person, and then they sat together to eat the food, and the food killed them. Actually, nothing killed them, but that same love of dunya is the actual killer for all the three which Hazrat Isa alayhi salam had already prophesied to them, already told them. Salawat. Hazrat Isa alayhi salam moved forward, continued his trip. He reached to a mountain, and there he found a person 100 years of age, and he had no house. Hazrat Isa himself had no house to live, I told you already. Lam takun lahu zawjatun, Imam Ali says, Lam takun lahu zawjatun tuftinuhu. He had no wife to put him into test. Wala waladun yahzunuhu. He had no child to make him sorrowful. You know, if you have your children, if you don't have children, you have one sorrow. And if, when you have children, you have so many sorrows coming in your way, one way or the other, about different things that are happening to our children. Because we love them. So the children have sorrows. They bring sorrows for us. وَلَا وَلَدٌ يَحْزُنُهُ. He had no son, no children, so that he may end up in sorrow. And then وَلَا تَمَعٌ يُزِلُّهُ. He had no greed that can insult him. And of course, we learned that Hazrat Isa alayhi salam had no house to live in. So he used to wander and sleep here and there. So this guy was 100 years old, living on the top of a mountain. Hazrat Isa asked him that, well, inquired about the talk to him, and he said, well, I am told by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that my total age is going to be 600 years. So I am now 100 years of age. 500 years are still, about to go. But so Hazrat Isa said, you didn't make a house for yourself? He said, Ya Rasulullah, I thought that 600 years of age is too little for me to construct a house. Then Hazrat Isa heard that statement. He said, in the final days, there will be people arriving. Majority of those people will be less than 100 years of age, and they will construct so much houses. You know, so much houses. You know, the hadith says that the angel of Allah announces every single day on behalf of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, لِدُوا لِلْمَوْتِ وَاجْمَعُوا لِلْفَنَاءِ وَابْنُوا لِلْخَرَابِ. Addressing to the children of Adam, that reproduce, you know, have children for the sake of maut. The end result is everybody's going to die. وَاجْمَعُوا لِلْفَنَىٰ. Gather whatever you want to gather from this dunya, different, you know, material things of this dunya. But you remember that everything of this dunya is going to be destroyed. Gather whatever you do, जो कुछ करना हो ऐ बनिया नौ आदम, जो मर्जी कर इकट्ठे करते फिरो, तबाह तो सारी चीजों को होना ही है। हर दिन फरिश्ता ये निदा देता है, एवरी डे वा वबनू लिल खराबे, और बनाओ तामीर करो चीजों को, करो इस दुनिया पे तामीरात, सबके सब खराब होनी है, करो तामीर एवरी डे। दिस आर वन ऑफ दोज वॉइसेस ऑफ आलम मलकूत that we don't hear. Lots of those voices are available, lots of angels are available. You know, for every drop of rain, Prophet said, an angel comes down. There are countless number of angels, countless announcements going on, countless things going on, countless voices available. We can only listen to certain decibels, and to certain decibels of voices. Anything below those decibels or higher than those decibels is not audible for us, for the human ears. So when we can only listen to certain limited number of voices available around us, we don't have the right to challenge or denounce or deny all those teachings of the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt that inform us about the unseeable things which are going on. But they have been listening. Prophet is listening to the voice of the angel every day. And that's the one of the reasons maybe that he's unable to tolerate the condition in which we are going. So this is how the angel announces. And now Hazrat Isa alayhi salam moves forward, and we are talking about the greed of dunya, hirs, dunya ki tama or hirs. And he moves forward, reaches, he finds a rubble, a very broken small slum house. He thought, well, let's see who is there. Sometimes you can find very nice jauhar, jawahir and pearls in some of the rubbles, and you know, you never know. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already said, yukhrijul hayya min al mayyit. Allah takes out a living person from a dead. And this has been, in the tafsir, it has been interpreted, this verse of Holy Quran, yukhrijul hayya min al mayyit, has been interpreted by our mufassirin that Allah takes out a mu'min person from a dead person. That means a kafir. So lots of people are like this. You find there are lots of kafir people, but they are mu'mins coming from their nasl and lineage. And the opposite is also true. There are some kafir, some mu'min people, and you find this Sayyid Peter William Zaidi coming out of this nasl. Because the parents don't care. You know, it's not a surprising. It's available in among the prophecies of the final days that yusbihu mu'minan wa yumsi kafiran. Kuch log subho ke waqt mu'min honge, sham hone tak kafir ho chuke honge. Ya yusbihu kafiran wa yumsi mu'minan. Subho ke waqt tak mu'min kafir honge, sham dhalne tak, suraj dhalne tak, sham hone tak wo mu'min ho chuke honge. Somebody came and asked Imam Sadiq alayhi salam that why didn't Amir al-Mumin alayhi salam took the intiqam? Why didn't Amir al-Mumin alayhi salam take the intiqam and revenge from his enemies when he had the shuja'at and courage and power? And Zulfiqar, he could have taken the revenge. Why didn't he take the revenge? Just kill them. And Imam Sadiq alayhi salam said, لِآيَةٍ فِي كِتَابِ اللَّهِ. Imam Ali alayhi salam did that for the sake of one ayat of the Quran. What is that one ayat of the Holy Quran which Imam Sadiq mentioned? لَوْ تَزَيَّلُوا لَعَذَّبْنَا الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا مِنْهُمْ عَذَابًا أَلِيمًا. That's the ayat which Imam Sadiq alayhi salam recited from Surah Al-Fath. لَوْ تَزَيَّلُوا لَعَذَّبْنَا الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا مِنْهُمْ عَذَابًا أَلِيمًا. If they were separated from each other, if they were separated, we would have punished those of them, you know, who did kufr with a painful torment. So we learn in the light of this verse of Holy Quran that the Ahlul Haq and Ahlul Batil, Ahlul Iman and Ahlul Kufr are not separated yet. There are lots of people from the lineage of kafirin. Lots of mu'mins are about to be born. From the lineage of mu'mineen, some kuffar are about to be born. Isn't that right? Lots of you find so many of the non-believers who have more conscience alive. We salute those human beings, those people of the United States who have been protesting on the Lincoln Memorial against the war policies of the Bush administration. Anti-war demonstrations, not in our name. Do whatever you want to do, but at least not in our name. These people are better than some of those Muslims who have their conscience dead. Imam Ali al-Islam also had defined in Nahjul Balagha the definition and ta'rif of Islam in a very clear words, al-Islamu huwa al-Taslim. And he said in Nahjul Balagha that la'ansibanna al-Islam nisbatan, I'm going to define Islam with a definition in a way that no one has ever defined Islam before me, no one will ever define Islam after me better than this definition, except if somebody defines the Islam with the similar one, similar definition. So there's nobody who can ever define Islam with a better definition than this. And then he said, Al-Islamu huwa al-Tasleem. Wal-Tasleemu huwa al-Tasdeeq. Al-Tasdeequ huwa al-Yaqeen. Wal-Yaqeenu huwa al-Adaa. Wal-Adaa huwa al-Amal. Inna al-Mu'min akhada deenahu an Rabbihi wa lam ya'khudhu an Ra'yihi. Islam. Al-Islam huwa taslim. Islam jazbae haq pasandi ka naam hai. Hukm-e khuda ke saamne sare taslim kham kar dene ka naam hai. Islam means the essence of submission towards haq and righteousness. And the essence of submission is nothing but tasdeeq and verifying. And verifying is nothing but yaqeen and certitude. And wal yaqeen huwa al ada, which means performance. Wal ada huwa al amal, which means action. Inna al mu'min, at the end, Amir al Mu'mineen says, Inna al mu'min akhara deenahu an rabbihi. The mu'min takes his religion from his Lord. Walam ya'khudhu an ra'yihi. And he doesn't take his religion from his personal opinion. A mu'min is a person who doesn't care about what his opinion is. He cares about what Allah says. He says, Ruh-e Taslim. So, Mawla-e Kainat ne jo tarif Islam ki bayan ki hai, wo ye nahi aapne farmaya ke Musalman wo hota hai, is hadith ke andar Nahjul Balagha mein, ye nahi farmaya Musalman wo hai jo ke Musalman gharane mein paida ho jaye. Ye nahi farmaya Mawla ne is hadith mein. Na jaane kitne hain jo Musalman gharon mein paida ho rahe hain, aur kafiron ki sifat aur nuut aur کافروں کی صفتیں ان کی روح کے اندر پائی جاتی ہیں بلکہ بعض تو ایسے ہیں جن میں وہ کافروں سے بھی بدتر ہیں کیونکہ ان کو بھی اپنے مذہبی اصولوں کا کم از کم بعض کو پاس ہے مگر ان کو اپنے مذہبی اصولوں کا کوئی پاس نہیں ہے ان کا بھی ضمیر زیادہ زندہ ہے بعض کافروں کا بعض سو کالڈ مومنوں اور سو کالڈ مسلمانوں پہلے ہمارے پاس کرسچن زائنسٹ ہوا کرتے تھے یہودی زائنسٹ ہوتے تھے آج ہمارے پاس شیعہ زائنسٹ بھی پیدا ہو چکے ہیں اس ملک میں جو کہ زائنزم کی حمایت کرتے پھر رہے ہیں If it walks like a duck, if it talks like a duck, it's a duck. Isn't that right? So آپ اگر تاہوت کی حمایت کریں تو آپ بھی تاہوت ہی ہیں سین تو نہیں نکل آتے ہیں حمایت کرنے سے آپ صہیونزم کی حمایت چپلوں سے کرتے پھر رہے ہیں صہیونسٹوں لوگوں کی تو آپ بھی زائنسٹ ہیں That's what it takes to become a Zionist تو سین تو نہیں نکلتے You don't grow horns تو آپ شیعہ زائنس پیدا ہو چکے ہیں نہیں وہ مولانا آپ کی کیسٹ تو میں نے پہنچا دی تھی وہاں مگر وہ خیر اس میں تو آپ نے کچھ کہا بھی نہیں تھا آپ نے کیا کیا خدمتیں ہو رہی ہیں یہ سب دین کے نام پہ یہ سارے کام ہو رہے ہیں قربتن اللہ قرآن وہ بھی پڑھتے ہیں اہل بیت کا نام وہ بھی لے رہے ہیں مجلس میں وہ بھی شرکت کر رہے ہیں مگر ذرہ برابر کربلا کو نہیں سمجھا یہ مدرسے کیوں منعقد کی جا رہی ہیں کوئی رسم و رواج نہیں میں بار بار یہ بات کہتا ہوں اور دہراتا رہوں گا کچھ باتوں کو میں جان بوجھ کے دہراتا ہوں کیا کہ ان کے اوپر تاکید ہونی چاہیے ان باتوں کے اوپر جیسے حب دنیا کا مسئلہ اتنی مرتبہ مولا کائنات نے نہج البلاغہ میں دنیا کا تذکرہ تکرار کیا ہے کہ ہمارے فقہا نہج البلاغہ کو کتاب و مذمت دنیا کہتے ہیں دنیا کی مذمت کی کتاب اتنی مرتبہ تکرار کیا مولا نے ایک ہی مرتبہ کہہ دیتے کچھ چیزیں ایسی ہوتی جن کو بار بار تکرار کیا جانا چاہیے تو میں عرض کر رہا تھا آپ سے So basically, salawat padhiye baba.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
So Hazrat Isa alayhi salam went to that house, that slum house, You know, because I was reciting that verse of Holy Quran, يُخْرِجُ الْحَيَّ مِنَ الْمَيِّتِ. Allah subhanahu, that's where our discussion, you know, ended, that Allah takes out a living person from a dead person. And this ayat has been interpreted, that Allah jo hai, kafir se imumin ko paida karta hai. And so many people from Kaya, when Imam Ali alayhi salam was talking to Malik Ashtar, Rahmatullahi alayhi and Salamullahi alayhi, Malik Ashtar is not an ordinary person, you know. He is one of the greatest all-time companions of Ahlul Bayt. He is, according to some of the, you know, Aqwal, he's the commander-in-chief of the army of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam tomorrow when he will be resurrected in the time of Raj'at. He's not an ordinary person. So when we talk about Malik Ashtar, Rahmatullahi alayhi wa Salamullahi alayhi, we must remember that he is the top-notch companion of Amir al-Mumineen alayhi salam and commander-in-chief of his army. And tomorrow he will be the commander-in-chief of Imam Mahdi's army, and, you know, and it will be under his command. So Imam Ali alayhi salam, after the battle of Siffin ended, was talking to Malik al-Ashtar, and Malik al-Ashtar had killed 999 people of those kuffar of Banu Umayyah. You know, I'm saying the kuffar of Banu Umayyah intentionally, because once Imam Ali was praying against the people, baddua de rahe the Maulai Kainat, talking against the people who died in the battle of with Muawiyah, and one person objected on the Imam, Maula, aap kuch logon ko to mustasna kar de, sabko shamil na kar apni dua mein. Wo Musliman the. Aapne farmaya, none of them was a Muslim. Yehi to problem hai logon ka. This is exactly what the problem is. People consider both as okay. This is what the problem, where the problem lies. Nahi, wo bhi sahabi rasool hai, ye bhi sahabi rasool hai, wo bhi razi Allahu anhu, qatil razi Allahu anhu, maqtul razi Allahu anhu, zalim wo bhi acha hai, mazloom wo bhi acha hai, dono sahabi Allah pe chhod de, sab acche hain, Allah aap Allah ke kaamon mein mudakhalat mat kare. Let's end up in pluralism, that everybody and every religion is okay. Don't talk against anybody, any oppressor. This is the same Zionist plot, which has been promoted by the Zionist lobbies widely in the academic institutions. The pluralism theory. There is no pluralism concept in Islam, because we are proud to believe in the straight path, which is only and only one, because logically, mathematically, Islamically, intellectually, it's not possible to comprehend that there are two straight lines that can connect point 1 to point B, point A to point B. There has to be one straight line. Any other option that you can mention to me will not be mustaqim. Isn't that right? ये क्या गुफ्तगू हो रही है कि नहीं वो भी ठीक है नहीं वो भी ठीक है नहीं कोई किसी का ठीक है एक है जो हक पे है उसके अलावा बाकी सब बातिल क्यों है ये नहीं हो सकता कि सारे के सारे सही हो तो मैं अर्ज कर रहा था कि जब when Imam Ali al-Islam was talking to Malik Ashtar after the end of the battle, and Malik Ashtar had killed 999 from those kuffar of Banu Umayyah, and Imam Ali al-Islam had killed 1,000, Imam Ali said to Malik Ashtar, you know, that means actually he was warning him not to think on those lines, that, well, the difference between me and Imam is just that Imam killed 1,000 and I killed 999. It's just a one-man difference. Imam said to him, well, when I was killing those 1,000 people, I was looking into the lineage and nasl of those people. Even if there was one mu'min coming and about to be born, I would leave that person and not kill him. That's the ayat which Imam Sadiq al-Islam recited when person asked him that why didn't Imam Ali take the revenge? The people of Ahle Haq and Ahle Batil were not distinguished. Ahle Iman and Ahle, there are lots of mu'min people who are about to be born. Didn't Imam Ali al-Islam say Muhammadun ibni min sulbi Abi Bakr? Isn't that what Imam Ali said? Muhammad ibn Abi Bakr. Muhammad is my son from the sulb, from the lineage of Abu Bakr. Didn't he say that? Muhammadun ibni min sulb Abi Bakr. So there are lots of people who come from different lineages. So we find that Hazrat Isa alayhi salam went there and found there's an old lady living in that house. And he knocked the door. The lady said, well, we don't, in our town, we don't take guests. We don't allow guests to stay in our houses, but I can see the noor of Salihin in your face. I can see the noor and nuraniyat in your face, so you are a different person. So, and his son was, when his son came into the house, and Hadith alayhi salam talked to his son, he discovered that the son is maghmoom, a kind of sorrowful. And Hadith asked him, well, what's your sorrow? What's the problem? What is making you sorrowful? And he said, well, I was walking in front of the palace of the king, and I looked at his daughter, and I fell in love with the daughter of the king and Sultan, and that has been disturbing my life. Hazrat Isa alayhi salam, see the hadith, look at that. This is one of the, when we are talking about the deceptions of Satan, this story of Hazrat Isa is so interesting and important, and it has so many lessons. That's why I chose this story to be mentioned. The hadith has already mentioned to us that an-nadharu sahmun min sihame iblis. Nigah jo hai shaitan ke teeron mein se ek teer hai. One of the arrows among the arrows of Satan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows us best. It's not possible for a human being to control himself, possibly in the later stages. Allah put a ban at the step number one. You cannot look at non-mahram person with lust. Another sahmun min sihame iblis. Right now you're witnessing, unfortunately, lots of divorces taking place in our communities, generally speaking. And one of the major reason why we are witnessing this scenario, even in the youngsters who have been born in the United States, we are witnessing this problem of divorce. One of the major reasons is that we do not understand the entire purpose of marriage in Islam, which has been emphasized in the ahadith. And you know, when somebody sent a letter to Imam Hussein ibn Ali alayhi salam and said that li ibnatun uridu an uzawwijaha, I have a daughter and I want to marry my daughter, Imam Hussein alayhi salam replied back to him, so I want to, you please advise me what kind of spouse shall I seek for my daughter. And Imam Hussein alayhi salam replied back to the person that marry your daughter to somebody, zawwij bintaka aw ibnataka wa tardid minni. Man yattaqillah azza wa jal. Marry your daughter to somebody who has the taqwa of Allah. And then Imam Hussein al-Islam provides the dalil for his statement. And the benefit of this statement, that is, fa'in ahabbaha akramaha. If he ends up loving your daughter, he would respect your daughter. وَإِن لَمْ يُحِبَّهَا لَمْ يَظْلِمْهَا. If he does not love her, he would at least not do any zulm towards her. That's the best what the parents would like to see, that their children, their rights are protected. The best thing that we should be looking for is أَتَاكُمْ. I am intentionally addressing this matter because we are witnessing different cases in our communities on this matter. And we find that the Holy Prophet's statement is the final statement on the subject, where he has said that إِذَا أَتَاكُمْ مَنْ تَرْضَوْنَا خُلْقَهُ وَدِينَهُ فَزَوِّجُوهُ. Whenever somebody comes and proposes to you, whose deendari, whose religion, وَخُلْق, and his akhlaq and morality, you are pleased with these two things, then you can marry him. These are the only two factors which we need to be worrying and caring about. Anything that we may think about more than that is not going to solve any problem for us. This has to be very clear. And also, the point which is important is to remember is that tawazun and balance, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Islam has provided among the huquq and fara'is. Which is, unfortunately, we find lots of youth do not know what are their responsibilities. How to balance between the respect of the parents and the respect and the rights of the parents and the respect of your spouse and the rights of your spouse. Lots of people don't know. And this disbalance between hukuk and fara'is is causing the disputes. Because in Islam, you are not entitled to any haq and right unless and until you have fulfilled your fara'is and fariza. Your hukuk comes after fulfilling your fara'is. Pehle farize ke upar farize ki adaigi karni hai, uske baad haq ke mutalibe ka hum haq rakhte hain. Agar humne farais ki adaigi nahi ki hai, to hum hukuk ke mutalibe ka bhi haq nahi rakhte. Magar ho yahi raha muashre mein ki apna fariza ada kiye bagair apne hukuk ka mutalba ek dusre se kiya ja raha hai. Lehaza jhagde to hone. Isliye zarurat is baat ki hai ki maa baap apne bachchon ko shaadi se pehle hukuk aur farais ka tawazun sahi tarike se sikhaye, taaki muashre mein ye kaifiyat jo aaj hame dekhne ko mil rahi hai, ye kaifiyat dekhne ko na mile. Salawat padhi. The greed of this dunya, which is one of the major ways how Satan deceives us. You know, one of the major ways. And we find that when Jabir ibn Abdullah once Rasulullah ke saamne baith ke ah bhari, that bhari ah jaise insaan bharta hai na, you know, expressed his grief. Prophet said, Prophet has a ilm al-ghaib and he understand what Jabir is intending to, you know. So he said, are you having grief and sorrow over not having anything of this dunya? He said, yeah, yes, Ya Rasulullah. That's the reason of my ah. Prophet said, then Prophet started to count the ni'mats of this dunya. He said, the best thing to drink in this dunya is water, which is shared by the animals also. The same water, animals and hayvanat are also drinking the same animal. The best food in this world is honey, Prophet said. And the reality of honey is that honey is the vomiting of the honeybee. Ye shahad ki makhi ki qay aur ulti hai. Ulti ka naam shahad hai. That's the reality. Honeybee sucks the, you know, essences from the flowers and then throws up. And this is a throwing up. Ye basically istifraq qay. Shahad ki makhi ki ulti aur qay hai. This is the haqeeqat which Prophet is trying to make us understand. These are the best of the things that we, you know, we give importance and look at the realities. And Prophet said, the best of the dresses to wear is what? Harir. Silk. That's the best of the dress. Of course, it's haram for men to wear anything of 100, you know, of pure silk, even including a tie, which is 100% silk. It's haram for the men to wear. And if you happen to wear in your prayers is also batil. So, and then Prophet said, this silk is, again, is the vomiting and throwing up of the silkworm. Because silkworm also throws this silk from its mouth. And that's how it weaves the thread around itself. So basically, if we realize the reality of this dunya, we'll never end up doing what it has been done. Imam Hussain alayhi salam, در حقیقت حب دنیا کے ان کی بنیاد پر مقتول ہوئے قتل کیے گئے. That's what Yazid did. You know, Yazid first asked Qadi Shurayh لعنتullah علیہ. He was a darbari mullah. Even that was the policies of Banu Umayyah and Banu Abbas throughout the history to hire darbari mullahs. And this policy has not changed yet. We find several darbari mullahs existing today, wearing imamas and supporting the taghut. I don't want to be specific, but we have several people available right here in this country who are supporting the taghut and wearing imam. That's exactly what Imam Khomeini has written in his book, Wilayatul Faqih, that he wrote in the early 1960s. Take the imamas off the head of those so-called ulama who are supporting Tawhid because they don't deserve to wear the libas of Rasulullah. But people are silly. and they don't distinguish between haq and batil. Yani maulana wo amama to wo bhi pehante hain, wo aap bhi pehante hain, aap to ye keh rahe the, wo to ye keh rahe the. ye kyon ho raha hai? Isliye ki abhi tak hum shakhsiyaton ke piche ja rahe hain, shakhsiyaton ke piche ja rahe hain. Abhi hame haq aur batil ki pehchan nahi hai. Jaise maulana kainat se kisi ne aake jang e jamal ke silsile mein kaha ki ye kaise ho sakta hai ki aap Ali ibn Abi Talib akele haq pe ho aur itni azim azim shakhsiyatein جمل میں دوسری طرف موجود ہیں. ام المومنین عائشہ, اصحابی رسول طلحہ و زبیر, پورا عالم اسلام ان کی عظمت کو جانتا ہے, وہ سب ایک طرف اور آپ اکیلے ایک طرف. اس سارے کے سارے لوگ باطل پہ ہیں, یہ کیسے ہو سکتا ہے؟ یہی تو ساری صورتحال کل بھی موجود تھی. اسلام نے تو پہلے ہی کہا کہ ہمیں بصیرت و معرفت رکھنی چاہیے, ٹھیک ہے نا؟ تو کل بھی لوگ اسی طریقے سے دھوکہ کھا رہے تھے اور آج بھی اسی طرح سے دھوکہ کھا رہے ہیں. مولا کائنات نے کیا جواب دیا؟ مولا کائنات نے وہ جواب دیا جو کہ مصر کے معروف مصنف طہٰ یاسین نے یہ اپنی کتاب میں مینشن کیا کہ امام علی علیہ السلام کا یہ والا قول جب سے وحی کا سلسلہ منقطع ہوا, قرآن کا نزول بند ہوا ہے, اس کے بعد سے کسی بھی انسان کا کلام اتنا عظیم دیکھنے کو آج تک نہیں ملا قرآن کے بعد جتنا عظیم یہ والی حدیث ہے مولا کائنات کی. یہ مصر کے مصنف طہٰ حسین کا قول ہے, یہ وہ کلام ہے جو مولا کائنات نے اس اعتراض کے موقع پہ ارشاد فرمایا تھا جب ایک صاحب نے آ کے کہا کہ وہ آپ اکیلے حق پہ ہوں, اتنی بڑی بڑی شخصیتیں, یہ کیسے ہو سکتا ہے کہ وہ سارے باطل پہ ہوں؟ آج لوگ کہتے ہیں مولانا ماما تو وہ بھی پہنتے ہیں, آپ تو ولایت فقیہ کی حمایت کر رہے تھے, وہ تو یہ کہہ رہے تھے. تو ہو رہا ہے نا ہمارے یہاں بعض سینٹروں میں, ٹام اینڈ جیری کا کارٹون میں سے کہتا ہوں کہ ایک کو بلا رہتے ہیں وہ حمایت کرتا ہے, دوسرے کو بلا رہتے ہیں وہ مخالفت کر کے چلا جاتا ہے. نیٹ گین از زیرو, قوم وہیں کی وہیں کھڑی ہے. ڈی سینٹرلائزیشن آف دا لیڈرشپ جو کہ تابوت کا ایجنڈا ہے, اس پہ عمل ہو رہا ہے. کچھ لوگ جہالت سے عمل کر رہے ہیں, ان کو یہ بھی احساس نہیں کہ ہم کس کا ٹول بن رہے ہیں, کس کی خدمت کر رہے ہیں, کس کو فائدہ پہنچ رہا ہے, who is benefiting out of it. سینس ہی نہیں, بصیرت نہیں ہے نا. دین کی تماشا بنایا ہوا ہے, دین کی احکام, دین کی اقدار کا تماشا بنایا ہوا ہے, دین کے نام پہ قربتن اللہ. تو مولا کائنات نے کیا جواب دیا؟ مولا کائنات نے فرمایا کہ انک لملبوس, توجہ فرمائی گا, مجلس اختتام کو پہنچ رہی, انک لملبوس علیک, تم دھوکے میں ہو. ان الحق والباطل لا يعرفان باقدار الرجال, حق اور باطل کو لوگوں کی شخصیتوں سے نہیں پڑھا جاتا ہے کہ فلاں صاحب اتنے بڑے ہیں. ارے یہ کیسے ہو سکتا ہے کہ وہ غلط کہہ دیں؟ ارے وہ بھی کہہ سکتے ہیں غلط, عقل سے آپ کو پہلے سمجھنا چاہیے. کیا مولا کائنات نے کیا فرمایا؟ فرمایا اعرف الحق تعرف اہلہ واعرف الباطل تعرف اہلہ. حق کو پہچانو, اہل حق کو خود پہچان جاؤ گے, اور باطل کو پہچانو, اہل باطل کو خود پہچان جاؤ گے. حق و باطل کی اصل میں پہچان نہیں ہے, جس کی وجہ سے یہ کنفیوژن چل رہا ہے. اگر حق و باطل کی پہچان ہوتی, اگر معرفت اور بصیرت ہوتی دین کے امور میں, تو پھر جب مولا کائنات کو ہم فاروق اعظم مانتے ہیں حق و باطل میں فرق کرنے والا, تو شیعہ علی بھی وہی ہوتا ہے کہ جو مولا کائنات کی سیرت پہ عمل کرتے ہوئے حق و باطل میں تمیز کر سکے. یہ کیسا شیعہ ہے کہ جن کو ابھی تک حق و باطل کا فرق ہی نہیں پتا چلا؟ یہ بھی اچھے ہیں, وہ بھی اچھے ہیں, سبھی اچھے ہیں. تو یہ میں عرض کر رہا تھا کہ درباری ملاؤں کو کل بھی استعمال کیا جاتا تھا اور آج بھی استعمال کیا جا رہا ہے. اور یہ درباری ملا چاہے معاویہ کے زمانے میں ہو ابو ہریرہ درباری ملا, یزید کے زمانے میں آ جائیے قاضی شریح, اور زمانہ آگے بڑھا امام باقر علیہ السلام کا قتادہ, اور آگے بڑھ گیا زمانہ امام تقی جواد علیہ الصلوۃ والسلام کا, تو آپ یحییٰ ابن اقسام, ابی داؤد, لمبی لسٹ ہے. بیٹھ کے کبھی ان درباری ملاؤں ہی کے بارے میں گفتگو ہو کہ کس کس دور میں کس کس طاغوت نے کس کس درباری ملا کو استعمال کر کے قوم کو دین کے نام پہ دھوکا دیا, اور قوم جو ہے وہ دھوکا کھاتی چلی گئی اپنی بے بصیرتی کی وجہ سے. اصل میں تو ہمارا جہل و بے بصیرتی ہے جو ہمیں مار کھلا رہی ہے. میں کچھ لوگوں کو یہ بھی نہیں پتا چلا کہ ہمیں مار کیوں پڑ رہی ہے. اللہ کی لاٹھی تو بے آواز ہے نا. مولا کائنات نے دعائے کبیر میں کیا کیا؟ خفیہ مکر کا, تیرا مکر مخفی ہے.
जैसे हम उर्दू में कहते हैं कि खुदा की लाठी ला आवाज है, फारसी में कहते चूपे खुदावंद से दाना दार है, अल्लाह की लाठी में आवाज नहीं है।
तो मैं अर्ज कर रहा था कि ये इंसान को बसीरत पैदा करनी चाहिए। मजलिस इमाम हुसैन का मकसद ही ये है कि हम आके मौलाए इमाम हुसैन अलैहिस्सलाम, अहले बैत अलैहिस्सलाम के बुलंद पाया नूरानी मारिफ सीख के उनके नक्शे कदम पे चल सके और उनके दुश्मनों से बरात कर सके, ताकि हम उनके मुवाली बन सके, उनकी वलायत पे अमल करने वाले बन सके।
ये मकसद मस्जिद के मुनक्किद करने का। तो काजी शुरैह से यजीद ने क्या मुतालबा किया कि फतवा लिखें इमाम हुसैन अलैहिस्सलाम के वाजिबुल कत्ल होने का। ऐसे तो नहीं कत्ल किया जाएगा ना हुसैन इब्ने अली को, फर्जंद रसूल को इतनी आसानी से कत्ल कर दिया जाए, ऐसे तो नहीं। There are lots of people who have a share in that and lots of people are responsible, they are part of the whole bigger plan, including Qazi Shurayh is part of the whole plan.
तो अब दरबारी मुल्ला से ये कहा जा रहा है कि फतवा दें, क्या जवाब देता है? पहचानता तो है ना, जानता तो है ना इमाम हुसैन को। नहीं, ये नहीं हो सकता कि मैं हुसैन इब्ने अली के बारे में, फर्जंद रसूल के बारे में मैं फतवा दूं, तो मैं कल रसूल को क्या मुंह दिखाऊंगा। यजीद ने कहा मैं जानता हूं इस शख्स को,
आई नो हिम बिफोर ही, बिकॉज ही व्हेन ही वॉक्ड अवे फ्रॉम द पैलेस ऑफ यजीद टू गो बैक टू हिज हाउस, यजीद सेंट हिज पीपल बिफोर ही रीचेस हिज हाउस,
take this much gold coins, dinar, and fill his bathroom with this much dinars before he reaches his house.
And the same was done. So when he reached his house and he found so many of those dinars and gold coins, he picked up the pen and wrote this fatwa that Hussein ibn Ali is a rebel and baghi who rebelled against the Khalifa of Rasulullah, Yazid ibn Muawiyah, and so Hussein ibn Ali is mahdur al-dam, his blood has no respect, and he needs to be killed. So, this is about the hubb al-dunya that we are discussing here. And, isi hubb al-dunya ki wajah se, ye nubat aayi ke, Mawla Imam Hussein apna watan chhod ke, aur ab, आज दो मुहर्रम की तारीख में इमाम हुसैन का कारवान करबला पहुंच रहा है। दो मुहर्रम को वारिद करबला हुआ। सो वी फाइंड दैट व्हेन इमाम हुसैन अलैहिस्सलाम मदीने से रवाना हो रहे हैं और रवाना होने के वक्त अपने नानी जनाब उम्मे सलमा के पास विदाए आखिर के लिए आए। जनाब उम्मे सलमा उम्मुल मोमिनीन बड़ी मोहतरम हस्ती हैं, इमाम उनके पास विदाए आखिर के लिए आते हैं और जनाब उम्मे सलमा ने ये वाकया बयान किया कि बेटा हुसैन तुम छोटे थे, तुम्हारे बचपने का वाकया है, एक मरतबा पैगंबर की तबीयत नासाज थी, तुम मेरे हुजरे में तशरीफ लाए, कहा कि दरवाजा बंद कर दो, किसी को मत आने देना, पैगंबर अंदर इस्तराहत करने के लिए लेट गए, थोड़ी ही देर गुजरी थी कि तुम छोटे थे, तुम आ गए कि हमें अपने नाना से मिलना है। मैंने कहा कि नहीं, इस वक्त तो नाना की तबीयत नासाज है, किसी से नहीं मिलना चाहते। कहा क्या हमसे भी नहीं मिलना चाहते? क्या मौला ने ये कहा, क्या हमसे भी नहीं मिलना चाहते? जब ये एक मर्तबा कहा तो मैंने जवाब दिया कि हाँ तुमसे भी नहीं मिलना चाहते, चुनांचे तुमने रोना शुरू किया और रोते हुए पलट गए। अभी तुम पलटे ही थे कि पैगंबर के गिरिए की आवाज बुलंद, पैगंबर की आवाज बुलंद हुई। अब जब मैं अंदर पहुंची तो देखा कि रसूल जलाल के हाल में है, जलाल है चेहरे पर। कहा उम्मे सलमा तुमने मेरे हुसैन को भी वापस बंटा दिया। पैगंबर ने क्या फरमाया एक मर्तबा कि तुमने मेरे हुसैन को भी वापस बंटा दिया। ये सुनना था कि मैं कांपने लगी, लरजने लगी, मैं दौड़ती हुई तुम्हारे पीछे गई, तुम्हें गोद में लिया, तुम्हें मनाया, वापस पैगंबर अकरम के पास आई, पैगंबर के हवाले किया, पैगंबर ने अपने सीने से चिपका लिया। उसके बाद मैं दोबारा घर कमरे के बाहर जाके बैठ गई, यहां तक के पैगंबर के रोने की आवाज बुलंद हुई। अब मुझसे रहा नहीं गया دوبارہ میں حجرے میں جب واپس آئی تو دیکھا کہ پیغمبر گریہ فرما رہے ہیں. میں نے پوچھا رونے کا کیا سبب ہے, تو تمہاری شہادت کا واقعہ میرے سامنے بیان کیا. اور میں نے رسول اللہ سے کہا کہ یا رسول اللہ, ارے مجھے کیسے خبر ہوگی کہ حسین شہید ہو گئے؟ تو ایک مشت خاک کربلا پیغمبر نے میرے حوالے کی, جب تک یہ خاک خاک رہے تو سمجھ لینا میرا حسین زندہ ہے, اور جب یہ خاک خون میں تبدیل ہو جائے تو سمجھنا کہ حسین مارا گیا. جب چنانچہ میرے مولا جب آج سرزمین مدینہ پر وارد ہوتے ہیں اور آنے کے بعد مولا نے یہ دریافت کیا, ما اسم هذه الارض, اس سرزمین کا نام کیا ہے؟ کسی نے کہا کہ غازریہ کہتے ہیں, کسی نے کہا کہ نینوہ کہتے ہیں, کسی نے کہا کہ اسے کربلا کہتے ہیں. جیسے ہی کربلا کا نام سنا مولا فرماتے ہیں, اللہم انی اعوذ بکا من الکرب والبلاء, بارالہ میں کرب و بلا سے تیری پناہ مانگتا ہوں. اور یہ موضع کرب و بلا ہے, یہاں ہونا واللہ محط رہاننا, ارے یہی وہ مقام ہے کہ جہاں ہمارے خیمے نصب ہوں گے. ہا ہونا یسبا حریمنا, یہی وہ مقام ہے کہ جہاں اہل حرم کو قیدی بنایا جائے گا. ہا ہونا یذبح اطفالنا, یہ مضمون روایت ہے کہ یہاں ہمارے بچوں کو ذبح کیا جائے گا, یہاں خیمے نصب کر دیے گئے. مولا نے یہ ساری غیب کی خبریں سنائی, تمام اصحاب نے یہ خبریں سنی, یہاں تک کہ تاریخ میں ارباب مقاتل نے نقل کیا کہ اسی سرزمین کربلا سے جب جناب ابراہیم کا گزر ہوا تو آپ اپنے مرکب سے ایک مرتبہ نیچے گرے, پیشانی سے خون جاری ہوا, اللہ سے دریافت کیا تو اللہ نے کہا کہ یہ امام حسین کی یاد دلانے کے لیے تھا. اور جب میرے مولا کائنات جنگ صفین میں اسی سرزمین سے گزر ہوا تو ایک مرتبہ تھوڑی دیر کے لیے استراحت جو کی, خواب میں دیکھتے ہیں اور خواب دیکھنے کے بعد بیدار ہوئے, زارو قطار گریا شروع کیا. مولا کائنات زارو قطار رو رہے ہیں. عبداللہ ابن عباس نے جب دریافت کیا تو مولا کہتے ہیں کہ یہی وہ سرزمین ہے جہاں میرا بچہ حسین ذبح کیا جائے گا. میں نے خواب میں بھی دیکھا ہے کہ ایک خون کا دریا ہے جس میں حسین نہا رہا ہے اپنے خون میں اور پکار رہا ہے مدد کے لیے, مگر کوئی اس کی مدد کو نہیں آتا.
على القوم الظالمين وسيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلبون. إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون. إلهي بحق الصحراء وأبيها وبعلها وبنيها والسر المستودع فيها, بارلہا پرچم اسلام کو سر بلند فرما, پرچم کفر و شرک و نفاق کو سر نگون فرما, انقلاب اسلامی کی حفاظت فرما, تمام علماء ربانیین, تمام مراجع کرام, بالخصوص رہبر انقلاب کا سایہ ہمارے سروں پر برقرار, تمام مجاہدین اسلام کی توفیق میں اضافہ فرما, تمام مومنین کی جان و مال و آبرو کی حفاظت فرما, تمام مومنین کی مشروع حاجات کو پورا فرما, تمام مومنین کو وظائف شرعیہ پر عمل کرنے کی توفیق عنایت فرما. بارالہ ہمیں اس وقت تک اس دنیا سے نہ اٹھا جب تک امام زمانہ ہم سے راضی نہ ہو جائیں, ان کے ظہور میں تعجیل فرما, ہم سب کو ان کے انصار و اشیاء میں قرار دے. ربنا تقبل منا انك انت السميع العليم بجاہ محمد و آلہ المیامین. یا حسین.